We're allowed to say gooder and gooder. Amen. Okay. Praise God. Let me see if I can get all this right, laid up here. So we are in our last Sunday on our series. We're wrapping it up, and the name of our series is Fit. Okay, cool, good. And if you want to open up to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, this has been our text from the whole beginning to the end. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's praying for believers. He's praying over them. He's declaring things over them. He's speaking into their life. And he says this, I'm praying for you that you might be sanctified completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's got some concerns on how we finish the race. All right? You know, some people start big, but they don't finish. So Paul's got concerns, and he's praying something really specific about your spirit, soul, and body be preserved. And we found out preserve means to be, that we have to guard it. We have to protect those things, or we're not going to finish well. And I found out I am competitive. I didn't think so. So I want to finish. I'm going to finish good. As you read the scripture, we see that God says we are a three-part being, right? We're a three-part being. And not only does God see that you're a three-part being, guess what? You are. You are a three-part being. You may not feel like it today, but you are a three-part being. And we said, if you're sitting here today, guess what? You have a body. This empty seat, no body, okay? So you have a body, you have a spirit. Spirit is the real you, right? And then you have a soul. We call that our mind, will, and emotions. And we talked a lot about that. So for the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about, well, what do I do with it? I am a spirit. I have a mind, and I live in this body. Well, what do I do with it? So week one, we said we are a spirit, right? And it says that we have to feed the spirit. If you want to finish well. So that's what we did week one. Week two and three, we said, hey, we are a soul. That's our mind, will, and emotions. And this soul sometimes can have some junk up there. We called it toxins, just a new word. We can have some toxins. And the way you get rid of them is to renew your mind with the Word of God. All right. And last week we talked about our body. Today we'll finish up. And we basically said this body that Paul's talking about is not the thing that you pinch. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the body, and he calls it the flesh. It's this thing that just wants to take you down roads you shouldn't go and you don't want to go. So we talked about our flesh, and we said the flesh can have some toxins in it also to make you do some wrong things. So we're going to pick it up from there and go on. One of the scriptures I read, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's in Romans 7, and this is a conversation Paul's having. The apostle Paul is having, and he's saying, you know, I want to do what's right, but I, dang it. He didn't say that. I did that. Dang it. I do the things that are wrong. Okay? Anybody here ever have that struggle? You know, I get up in the morning and I want to do what's right, but then I hate it. I turn around and I do something that I shouldn't be doing. All right. Now, a lot of Christians would never admit, Pastor D, I don't have any problem. You know, oh, baloney. You're deceived. Listen, this is the Apostle Paul that said that. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He's kind of like up here, right? He's kind of up here aside from Jesus, who's perfect. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, you know what? I want to do what's right. But then, you know, I end up by doing what's wrong. Oh, my gosh, I feel miserable after like that. Anybody ever feel miserable after you did something like that? Yeah. Okay. So Paul says he's miserable because of those things, that choices that he makes. All righty. So we're going to talk about, well, let me back up. So that was Romans 7, the very last verse in Romans 7. Just write it down, Romans 7:25. He gives the answer. You know, I love these people that give me the problem, the problem, the problem, the problem. I'm like, I already know the problem. I probably wrote the problem. Give me the answer. Okay? So he gives you the answer. And you know what he says? The only way you're going to find your help is through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus, all right? So that's the answer, but we're going to kind of dissect it. You're not going to find your answer to, I want to do it right, but then I turn around and do what's wrong. Oh, I'm so miserable. You're not going to find your answer watching TV or Facebook or even doing yoga. Sorry, you're not going to find your answer doing that. You're only going to find your answer through Jesus Christ. So we're going to dig into that, all righty? And I hate to tell you, tomorrow's Monday. We'll know who wins tomorrow. No, because I'm going to go to bed probably before the game's over. Okay. But you know what's going to happen? Your flesh tomorrow is most likely going to try to lead you to make some wrong choices. Oh, yay. Monday's coming. Okay. No. Okay. Because all of us have a flesh. Okay. All of us have a flesh. And the flesh is the part that wants to do wrong. Wants you to do actually opposite of what God's plans and purposes are for your life. All right? Now, God says he's got good plans for your life. And my flesh is just, goes that way. And they're the wrong ones. And, you know, the thing about this flesh, it doesn't care if you're the biggest, hottest name on God TV. You're the biggest preacher. It doesn't care. It doesn't care if you got saved 30 minutes ago. You got a flesh. It doesn't care. It doesn't care how old you are, how young you are. Your flesh wants to lead you down the opposite of the roads that God has for you. So, yay. But how many of you would like to learn how not to allow your flesh to lead you? I really would like to, because I have done some doozies. I'm like, oh, dang, I did that again. So, Paul, let's turn over there. Open up to Galatians. This is Paul writing to the Galatians, and he's going to give us some answers how not to have your flesh control you. All right? If your spouse is not paying attention, elbow them and say, y'all need to do this because I know about your flesh. I've been married to it for 25 years. All right. So how many want to learn how to control your flesh? Amen. This is Apostle Paul. He's writing to a church of believers. So when you read this, read it like he's talking to you. Okay? He's writing to me. All right? Galatians chapter 5. All right? Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 16. All righty? Here we go. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. See that word guide? That means to lead you. That means to actually let the Holy Spirit control you. That's sure better than my flesh. So Paul's saying, hey, let the Holy Spirit control you. I was like, okay, all right. And then the word then. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Now, I'm reading out of the New Living Translations. The King James might say flesh, and that's the word we've been talking about. Okay, so he's saying is, then you won't be doing what your flesh craves to do. Now, number one, my flesh is not saved and never will be saved. Oh, shucks. Okay, what got saved? What became brand new? What part of you? Your spirit. Okay, so the day I said, Jesus, I'm a mess. I need you in my life. Jesus came to live inside of me. My spirit, the real me, you can't see, but I'm telling you, it's probably like a size 4. Okay. It's good. It's good. Doesn't have any gray hair or wrinkles. Okay. But it's okay. I'm kidding with you. But the real me, my spirit, got born again, became new, perfect, complete. Okay. That's good. But the flesh, you have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. And you have to deal with it daily. Write that word, daily, every day. Okay. So you have to deal with it. All right. And listen, your flesh wants to control you, and your flesh just goes out of control. Out of control. That's what your flesh wants to do. Alrighty, so let's read verse, 17. The sinful nature, I'm going to say flesh, the flesh wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the spirit wants. God's spirit, you inside of you, the Holy Spirit, your spirit, okay? The spirit gives us desires that are opposite of the flesh's desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Anybody ever have some good intentions in life? Like, how many of you walked into church and said, oh, yay, I'm going to sign up for a grow group. Pastor D's just been smashing us about that. Yeah, that's a good thing. I hear what she says. Matter of fact, I'm even going to start tithing because I've read that. I've heard that. I've heard that. Yeah, I got some good intentions. And then you leave and you hit the end of that parking lot at that mailbox and you go, I don't feel like doing that. Who do they think they are? What are they, crazy? I'm not doing that. That's your... Okay, all right. I had good intentions, right? Praise the Lord. They were good. All right. So listen, guys, your flesh is going to tell you some things. Your flesh is going to tell you some things, and your flesh is going to tell you wrong things. Wrong things, all right? And your flesh, it says right here, wants to do completely opposite of what God wants you to do, of what the Word of God says. So you've got these two things going on. You've got your flesh and your spirit, and it says they're in opposition or they're fighting each other. You got your flesh that wants you to do wrong, and your spirit, the real you, the one that's full of the life of God and made complete, wants you to make the right choices and do right things and say right things, okay? So it's almost like, now this is how young I am, Donald Duck, way back, this probably came out, you know, way back, there was this old cartoon of Donald Duck. And Donald Duck's in the middle, and he's got this, he's trying to be tempted. He's going to be tempted. And he's got this nice Donald Duck standing on the side of him up here, this cartoon. And it sort of looks like an angel, and it's telling him, do right, don't do that, do right, do right. And then he's got this other thing on the other side, and it looks like the devil. And, of course, he's telling him to do wrong. Okay? Now, a lot of us kind of live our life like that. I want to do right. Okay? It kind of goes on with us. So, what do we do? Well, number one, you've got to recognize when your flesh is talking to you, it is opposite of what God has planned for you and desires for you. Write that down, okay? And your spirit is always wanting to follow after God. Your spirit is always wanting to follow after God. Okay, now, if you don't learn how to control your flesh, you're going to end up doing wrong things. Now, I have never had a dog. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go to the grave never owning a dog. But if you have a dog, like a puppy, and it loves to chew on your shoes, chew up everything in your house, unless you take control, it's going to keep doing it. Same with your flesh, guys. Now, you're smarter than a dog, okay? All right, so you're going to have to do some things in your life so it'll stop doing wrong, all righty? Now, write this down. Here we go. Lead your feelings. If you didn't bring a piece of paper because you forgot, don't tell me the truth. You can write this one time on the envelope in front of you with the pen, okay? And this should be a post-it note. Lead with your feelings. Don't follow them. Lead your feelings. Lead your feelings. Don't follow them, all right? All right, so I know people that they let their feelings lead them all day long. They make decisions based on their feelings, all right? So you need to lead your feelings, all righty? Now, such as, you know, my wife said something to me, blah, 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 and then you go, oh, man, I'm not going to help her on her honey-do list. Okay, I think we had a little leading with feelings going on there. Yeah? How about this one? my teenager just mouthed off at me. My dog just chewed up my best pair of shoes. I feel so depressed. I'm going to call in sick. You just made a decision by your feelings. What was leading you? Now, I'm making funny things, okay? But there's a lot of people. None of you guys, that's the church down there, right? None of you ever let your feelings lead you, okay? But if you are letting your feelings lead you, you're going to make bummer choices, all righty? So write this one down, golden nugget number two. Your feelings are real. We don't go denying them, okay? But They don't reflect reality. Such as driving by my bank. Man, they just tick me off. You know what? I feel like I'm going to go rob my bank. I'm going to go put a ski mask on and I'm going to go rob my bank. Okay, that's a feeling, all right? That's a feeling, but it doesn't reflect reality. I'm not going to do that, right? My boss has been on my case since the first of the year. I just want to just chew him out. Better yet, I'm just going to quit. Okay, you got some feelings going on. No denying, there's some feelings going on, okay? But that doesn't reflect the truth, the reality. Don't go quitting your job, right? Alrighty, so, praise the Lord. Well, let's jump down to verse 18. You think you got that point here. Verse 18, but when you are directed, led under the influence of the Spirit of God, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses. Okay, you guys, this is the Holy Bible. It's kind of divided in half. The first half is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. I don't have to follow the Old Covenant. My life changed because of what Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and he said, a new covenant, a new and better. And actually, you guys live in grace. Grace, not the law. Because there's over 600 laws. Even on my best day, I don't think I'd get to 300. All right? So praise God. I like living under grace because grace is what God's given me and empowers me and gives me the ability to do, to walk in the Spirit. All right, let's look at verse, I got my papers here. Verse 19. When you follow the desires of your flesh, your sinful nature, your flesh, these are the results. Just in case you didn't figure it out, Paul wrote down a list, all right? Here's the list. Ready? Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. Okay, sorcery sounds like sauces, sorcery. Sorcery, if you look it up in the Greek, it means in our English, pharmacy. Okay, and I think it's pharmaceo in the Greek, whatever. Okay, this word right here, sorcery, isn't talking about little witches and spells and stuff like that. It's talking about drugs, doing drugs, addicted to drugs, okay? So, by the way, that's the result of your flesh. So we have drugs, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division. Verse 21, envying, drunkenness. That's interesting they put those together. Wild parties and other sins like this. I think Paul just wore himself out making a list. And he says, okay, there's a whole bunch more, but this is a good starter, right? So check over the list, guys. Everybody see that list? So, you know, when I read that list, I said, whoa, you know, that doesn't look good for a Christian to be led by their flesh doing that stuff, right? That doesn't look so good. Like if you're not a Christian and you know I'm a Christian and you see that I'm in committing adultery, you're going, man, that doesn't look good. You know, I don't look good, right? Oh yeah, let's keep moving. That was fun. Ready? How about this one? I love this one. Oh, I know you're a Christian. You've slapped your big Bible on it at lunchtime at the workplace when we have snack and lunch there. I know you're a Christian, okay? And yet you are causing, what did he say? Dissension and division. You know what that is? Separating people, causing strife, all right? That stuff don't look good on me. Right? That doesn't look good on me if I'm telling everybody I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. All right? So write this down. When you're a follower, anything you do that is bad, aka opposite of the word of God, is your flesh and you are listening to it and following it. Anything that you are doing, like Galatians, that whole list there, and other things, anything that's wrong, harmful, hurting people, opposite of God's word, that's your flesh, in case you didn't recognize it, and you're listening to it. You're letting it master you, control you. All right? So if you get around somebody that's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and they start cussing and they're blowing up in anger, you'll go, oh, that's just what Paul said. They're walking in their flesh. Right? Now, anybody ever done that? We've all done it, right? I've had a few flesh moments here. Okay, let's jump down to verse 22. Verse 22 and 23, Paul gives us the answer. He just made this whole list of what your flesh loves to do, and now he gives the answer. So this is the best part. Ready? Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. When you receive Jesus into your life, everybody, life, the Spirit of life, new life came inside you, and he put these inside of you. He put them inside of you. They're there. Okay? So they produce this kinds of life. Okay, first one, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Underline the last one. What's it say? Mine says self-control. Okay? Self-control. All righty? Self-control. Self-control. All right. Now, so Galatians 5, 19 through 21 are all the way your flesh just goes bananas, all right? That's the way your flesh manifests. That's the way your flesh acts. But verse 22 and 23 is the Holy Spirit that's inside of you, the Spirit of God that's inside of you. This is what it produces, all right? So, it's so interesting. He said you have what? Self-control. You have it. Look at your neighbor and say, you got it. It's there, all right? Now, so you got it. That means you're able to control your flesh. You're able, because what's inside of you? Self-control. You've got it. That means you're able to control your flesh. So that whole list, 19 through 21, or that whole list, I'm able to control that. It doesn't have to control me because I've got self-control. All righty. So let's keep reading. Verse 24. Now those that belong to Jesus Christ, that means you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature, a.k.a. flesh, to the cross and crucified them there. All righty. Those who belong to Jesus, if you've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, you have the Spirit of life in you, you've got this new life. If you didn't do that, you're off the hook. But if you did, you're on it. You have self-control and you can control your spirit. Your flesh, because you've got this inside of you. All righty. Now, everybody here's got passions and desires. Everybody. All right. Now, and those passions and desires this time are things that don't line up with the Word of God. That's what they are. They're passions and desires that don't line up with the Word of God. And it's so interesting. Your passion and desires might not be mine. Okay. But my passions and desires to do things that I ought not to do might not be yours. But y'all have passions and desires, and they want to, according to the scripture, do the opposite. All right? Do the opposite of the Word of God says. So for some of you, your temptation, let's do it that way, it could be alcohol. Yours could be just to gossip. All right, or whatever it is like that, or jealousy. Okay, actually what that means is you've got this weaker area in your life that wants to control you. And some people look at you and they go, I don't get it. What is your problem? Because I don't have that one. But let me tell you this. All that's telling me is that I got a flesh, and it wants to go in this direction. And you can believe this lie. Well, that's just my predisposed nature. That's the genetics of my life. Okay, I'm touching on some interesting topics here. But you know what this is telling me? You can, through Jesus and the fruit, the whole self-control, not let that control you the rest of your life. It just means you have to work at it. You have to, and work, I don't mean you have to take the Word of God and speak the Word of God. So if you, now listen, I come from, as far as I know, three generations of alcoholism, and addictions. Man, they die. I mean, I've been burying them for years, decades, okay? So a lot of people will say, I have a passion and a tendency. You know, I'm not going to split hairs with you, but I have chosen to do something about it in my life. Okay? You don't have to have that the rest of your life. Everybody say, I don't have to have that the rest of my life. I don't, all right? It just means that I have to do something about it. I have to do something about it, all righty. So I'm going to give you right now, we're going to go over real quick, four things you have to do with your flesh. Not your spouse. Not your therapist. They're good. All right? But you have to do with your flesh, all righty? Number one, write this down. I need to crucify my flesh. I need to crucify my flesh. Now, sometimes I just want to crucify people, but I'm not talking about that. This one's saying I. This is the stuff you do for your flesh that wants to go out of control, that wants to control you, that wants to master you. This is what you're going to do. Number one, I need to crucify my flesh. And Jesus actually said the same thing in Matthew. In Matthew, just write it down here. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. He says, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Same thing. If you want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deny those passions and desires, flesh. That's the same thing. Okay. So I have to deny things in my life. I have to deny the wrong things. You know, people say, I just want to be poor because that's dumb. Okay. Give me your money. I'll be rich. All right. I like being rich. Okay. So wrong things. Deny yourself wrong things. Praise the Lord. Wrong things. Okay. So listen to this. Everybody here probably would like to do some wrong things. Like Joy sent me a text. Mom, go shopping tomorrow. There's 60% off this, this, and this. So I was like, if I was worried, I'd say, oh, I'm calling in sick. Because really, I'm going shopping. That's a passion to do wrong things, all right? I was lying, all righty? You guys don't get it. How about this one? Man, I have had a stinking week with my spouse. I am just going to get the credit card and swipe it, and I'm going to go to Hawaii. Matter of fact, I'm not coming back. Wow. I've said that once way back in the day. Okay? Okay? All right. You know why some people don't do that? Because they deny themselves. They deny themselves. All right? You have to deny yourself. All righty? Now, when we have to deny ourselves, there's two pains, and I've said this before, probably last year we went over this. There's two pains that you're going to run into. When we have to deny ourselves doing things, wrong things, okay? There's two things. The first one is the pain of discipline. Write that down. The pain of discipline. And that simply means I'm not going to allow my flesh to lead me. I'm going to crucify it. I'm going to deny it. I'm going to say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to. Yeah. Okay. I'm not. Now, let me give you a picture. Have you ever seen, Mr. Universe? Well, you know, the big weightlifting person. Okay. And you go, whoa, man, look at you. That you look good. You must have popped out of your mother's womb looking like that. No. There's a lot of pain of discipline, right? Pain of discipline to look like that. Go to the gym. Don't take steroids. Okay. How about those gold? We talked about the Olympics this past summer, and they won those golds because of the pain of discipline. They had to discipline their body to get up. I mean, they're up the crack of dog and they're dawn and they're exercising 8 hours and they're eating right. That's a pain of discipline, right? So, matter of fact, was it last Sunday? We had a water baptism, Bob and Chance, praise God. And then I went downstairs. We had a children's meeting, and I walked in for the last 3 seconds of it. They had a great time without me. It's wonderful. And then I'm driving home. It's probably about 2 o'clock till I got home. And I'm driving home, and I see a pack of guys, young guys. And they all got their green sweatshirts. And I go, oh, they're your college guys. And they're up at the square. I live in York, New Salem. And they're up at the square. And I thought, holy Toledo. They were at your college. That means that no other way to get there except for up a hill. And I thought, well, why or how did they do that? Why did they do that? How did they do that? The pain of discipline. Okay? We have to put a little discipline in it. Okay, now the second pain, write this one. This is one we hate. I hate. Okay? You ready for number two? The pain of regret. The pain of regret. That means when I do something, I wish I wouldn't have done it. And then after I do it, I just, dang, I hate myself. I wish I wouldn't have done that. That's called the pain of regret. All right? I ate that whole chocolate cake. Man, I just hate myself. Can't get the zipper up. All right? So pain of regret. I'm going to do something. I know I shouldn't do it. But after I do it, I feel miserable. Pain of regret. Okay, you all understand that one, alrighty? So, and then we pray, oh God, please forgive me this time again. Would you forgive me? And I promise I won't do it again. And God's looking down going, liar, liar, pants on fire. Of course I'm going to forgive you, alright? Of course, okay? But listen, write this down. You can't, C-A-N, cannot, you cannot ask God to take away from you something that you're supposed to do. You cannot ask God to take away from you something that's your responsibility. Okay? Dear God, please take porn away from me. And God's up in heaven going, can't. Dear God, please take this anger issue away. And God's up in heaven going, can't. You know why? Because you are responsible. That's your responsibility with your flesh. Okay? And then he gave you self-control. Okay? All right. So he's already done it. So pain of discipline. Pain of discipline. It's easier said than done. It is. It's easier said than done, but we can do it. All right. Okay. Second thing that you have to do to your flesh. Ready? Write this down. See yourself dead. Pastor D, that's so dumb. No, listen to me. You have to see yourself dead to blah, blah, blah. Whatever you're struggling with. Whatever your blah, blah, blah is. Okay? See yourself dead to that blah, blah, blah. All right? So turn. You can write this down. I'll just read it to you. Romans 6:11. This is Paul again. You should consider yourself to be dead. Paul's writing this. You should consider yourself to be dead. Now that word consider, it means you need to think on, you need to regard yourself, you need to see yourself. Not just, oh, I'm considering. No. You need to count yourself as dead. All right, so he's saying, you should regard yourself, see yourself, count yourself dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Stuff that he's stuck inside you, okay? So the next time you've got these things, you know, the flesh, that whole list on Galatians 5, you got that whole list. He's saying you need to crucify those desires and you need to see yourself dead, okay? My famous analogy, they got the coffin. What's inside the coffin? A dead body. That dead body is not going, oh, I just can't. I just really want two large cheese, pizza, extra cheese. No, it's not thinking that. It's not desiring that. Why? It's dead. See yourself dead. When you're dead, you're not desiring that stuff. But you have to see yourself dead in that coffin. Dead. All right? And you have to see yourself dead and you go, no, I'm dead to that sin. Because let me tell you, immorality, impurity, dissension, and all those lists, they're sin. All right? And they'll take you a place you don't want to go. It's sometimes hard to get out. So you need to say no, I'm dead to that. All righty? Now some of you are going, Pastor D, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're just getting really out there. Well, you know what I want to say? Well, is what you doing working? If you've been trying to do this, it's not working. Maybe you try it God's way, all right? Here, so God says, when sin tries to take control of you, master you, take you down the wrong road opposite of the Lord, that desire, you have to say something. You have to say something with your mouth, and you have to say, no, I'm dead to sin. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I am not. I am going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to walk in what God says, okay? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's see, what number am I on here? Okay. Just write down Romans 6 and 7. We talked a lot about Romans 6 and 7 last week. But again, Paul's saying the same thing. Your flesh wants to master you, control you, right? And you have to say stuff out of your mouth. Say what God says about you. Say, no, I'm not going to do that. And then you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, conclusion. All right, and you know what? And I think about this personally. I don't want things mastering me. I don't want things mastering me that I live any less of a life than what God has planned for me. God's planned a great life for you. Prosper you in everywhere. It's called the abundant life, right? But if I let things master me, control me, my flesh control me, say things, do things, watch things, or any like, okay, then I'm not going to have all the things God's got for me. And let me put it on top of this. And then how about the way, if I let those flesh, my flesh just rule me and control me, then I'm not looking good as a Christian. Like the person that goes out to lunch and sits down at a table and talks to a waitress. I want that waitress to look at me and say, something different about her. Okay, she's so kind and nice and leaves 20% tip and do not give her one of those little fake tracks that look like a fake $5. Don't you dare do that. Make sure you put real money down there. You make us look disgusting. None of you do that. That was somebody else. Okay, praise the Lord. Alrighty. Number three, you have to do to your flesh. Ready? You have to let go of the desire to please my flesh. I have to let go of the desire to please my flesh. Okay, what are you talking about? Well, first off, when I do things with my flesh, I'm really enjoying it. You wouldn't do it unless it was enjoyable, right? That's enjoyable. But you have to get to the point where you realize, this is not enjoyable. Now, my flesh is going, yes, it is, yes, it is, yes, it is. No, no, no. My spirit man's going, this is not enjoyable because it's going to have misery afterwards, right? It's going to cause problems afterwards. You have to get to the point where you say, you know, this just ain't fun no more. All right? You have to want that. Now, I used to say this, please, I'm not perfect. So I was like, man, I don't do this sin no more, that sin no more. You know what my last favorite one is? I just love gossiping. Pastor D, yeah, I used to say that. It's like my last favorite sin. And the Lord just like kicked me in the butt and said, you have to stop saying that. Because let me tell you, gossip is pleasurable. Oh my God, get a bunch of people, girls/girls, in a room and, okay, and then it just gives you a high sometimes, okay, that's so bad, Pastor D, must have been that old person, okay, so you have to stop, in order to stop that, you have to say, wait a minute, this isn't pleasurable, because you know what gossip does? It causes division. And usually what happens is you're trying to put somebody down so you look good. I was like, oh, man. Okay. So, Pastor D, we're praying for you. All right. So you have to end up by saying, you know what? I don't desire that. And I am going to change the way I live. Instead, when I get a bunch of girls together, we're going to get the Bible out. Praise God. All right. So we don't get sucked into it. I don't know what you guys do, all right? But you're going to have to make some changes. Go to church. Go to grow group. Get your Bible out. Just whatever the flesh has led you down, find another. Go that way, all righty? Last one. Here we go. Oh, I'm going to get you home so you can cook for Super Bowl. Hallelujah. Okay, my kitchen's all set up for cooking here. Okay. All right, last one. You have to offer your body daily to God as a living sacrifice. And of course, you know, turn over to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. You have to offer your body daily as a living sacrifice to God. Okay? You have to offer your body daily as a living sacrifice. Okay, I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to read it out of two versions. King James, here we go. New King James. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, raise your hand if you're a brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And I'm going to read this out of the New Living because it just said it so much better. Here we go. And so, dear brothers and sisters, AKA, I've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. I'm a follower of Jesus. He's talking to me. Anybody talking to you? Yeah, you're a believer. He says, so, followers of Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. I beg you. He's really serious. He's pleading with us. I plead with you to give your whole bodies, AKA flesh, give your flesh to God because of all he's done for you. Man. Just close your eyes for a second. If I were the last person on earth, God would still have sent Jesus Christ for me. And he sent him for me. And my Jesus came and he rescued me. He rescued me out of a pitiful, dark, yuck life. And he's brought me into his family. He's made me somebody special. I'm a child of the Most High God. I've been washed, made pure, made holy, blameless without sin. I can go boldly into the throne room of grace and sit down with my Heavenly Father. Why? Because he has done so much for you, right? Okay, open your eyes, don't fall asleep. Then let them be living and holy sacrifices, your flesh. Let your flesh be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will be acceptable. This is the true way we worship him. All right. Okay, so you know how this works? Every single day, before your feet touch the ground, pop, your eyes open up and you go, Father, today I am a living sacrifice for you. Today, I offer my body to glorify you. Today, I will let you use me for you. That's what it means. Okay? So you should write that down. Right? God, I offer my flesh, my body, for you as a living sacrifice, for you. God, today I give you my body, AKA flesh. Okay? To give glory to you. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to live my pleasures for me. Okay? Pleasures. How many of you have ever had pleasures just for you for a whole day? Like you watch TV for 4 hours, 2 hours of Facebook, and then you're on the internet. That was just pleasures for you. Big zero. Okay? All right? How many of you have pleasures. Gosh, they brought home the donuts. I ate 11 out of 12. All right. That was just pleasures for me. Okay. We do things. All right. Selfishness. It's just pleasures for us. Me. Okay. So what he's saying is, hey, you have to change. You have to change. And your body is not more important than my relationship with the Father. This flesh is not more important than my relationship. And I want to. And you know, when your flesh goes out of control, 9 out of 10 times, first thing we do is we run away from the Father. Because we're so dumb and ashamed, okay? So I don't want to stay away. So I'm going to have to take control of this flesh. All right, deny it when it's saying this, this, and this. All right, and choose to present my body, my flesh to the Lord, and let it be a living, holy to him. Amen. All right. Write this down. Two more things to write down. Okay. And we're going to wrap up. Don't satisfy a short-term gratification. Oh, this is so good. Write this down. Don't satisfy a short-term gratification. You know what that means? I got to have it now. I got to do it now. I got to do it now. I want it now. Now, right? Don't satisfy a short-term gratification for a long-term blessing. Okay, what do I mean by that? I'd rather have all the blessings of God working in me and through me, right? Y'all want that? Yeah! Rather than I'm just going to flesh out. And then I got such stinking regret. And sometimes regret just tries sticking on you for a long time. So I'd rather say no, you know, like this got to me. Like somebody said something to me, somebody did something to me, and in my head, I am ready to slice, dice, just do you in. And I hear the whole, shut up, D. Shut up. Okay? Now, personally, you deserve a few of my words. Because I can't believe what you said. You talked about my kids. You know, I'm ready to slice and dice you. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that's led inside me, the self-control is saying, shut up, D. Okay? Because I've got so much greater for you. So just shut up. Pray for that person. And walk in the Spirit. Okay? Don't be led by your flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. All righty? Everybody's done it. Everybody's going to, and can I tell you this? Flesh, you got this for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, the only time your flesh is not going to talk to you is the day you die. All right? And I am not ready to die yet. So I have to work on this. And I can. Don't tell me I can't. Oh, Pastor D, I can't. You don't know what my husband said. You don't know how my wife is. You don't know. Yes, you can. You got love, joy, peace, but self-control, right? Okay. And I'm choosing this day to be a living sacrifice, to lay down this and to walk holy and pure before the Lord until he brings me home. And then you're off duty. Okay. But you still have feet on this earth. You're going to keep working on this. Amen? So here's your homework. Assignment. Homework. Because you all want to be doers of the word, not hearers only. You all want to be fit in your spirit, fit in your mind, fit in your body. So you got to do some homework. Okay, take one area that you've been struggling with. Just, you know, do it tonight before you go to bed. Better yet, do it in the morning. Just write down one area. And you just ask God, God, what is this? You know, first off, I know my areas. If you don't know any of your areas, just ask your spouse. They'll tell you. Call me up. I'll tell you. All right. Write down an area that you're struggling with. Just write it down. Okay. And then ask God. Just ask him. He loves you. Ask him, how do I crucify this? What changes do I need to make? You know, and mine is, the Lord says, shut up. Don't say that. Okay. Okay. And there's a whole bunch of other things I have going on in my life. But write down an area that you're struggling with and ask God how you do it, how you crucify it, how you deny it. He'll tell you. He's a good God. He's so good. And first of all, he doesn't condemn you. Okay, so, you know, I was raised in the Catholic faith, and we'd go to confession. You're supposed to go to confession before you went to Mass. So when I was in Catholic school, we'd go, the nuns would all trape us in on Friday to go to confession. So we could go to church on Sunday, be all cleaned up and stuff like that. And, you know, and this is the game that would go on in my head. Okay, I don't want to give them such a big list of all the things, my flesh, my sin, because then I'm thinking, they're going to think I'm really bad. So we'd modify the list. I'm sitting there going, God knows, baby. He knows my list. He knows your list. Just pick one. Don't have to modify it, make it nice. Just pick one thing that you're struggling with and just ask him every day. By the way, you should probably do it before you put your feet on the ground. Lord, help me, show me, help me, remind me how to walk and follow after the Spirit of God so that I can enjoy this life. And then, you know, it just isn't me, 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 me. When I'm walking in this Spirit of God, or just walk in the way I'm supposed to, I'm going to enjoy life. And actually, I get to contaminate other people when I do it. Right? So it's not just about you. It's about the people that God places in your path that need your light, that need your story, and that are looking at you. And when you make these choices, God, I am choosing today to lay down this flesh and be a living sacrifice and walk holy and pure before you. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. Father, Lord, I thank you. I've done my best to get this truth across to your people. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You've begun a good work. We'll complete it. I thank you, Father, that you just continue to speak to our hearts, that you have given us ways and the answer. So not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I thank you, Father, that you empower us by your grace to live like we're supposed to. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, eyes still closed. If you're here today and you've been listening to me going.